on Nightline. It's your direct line to the Ombudsman.
There you go.
Well, I seriously have not lived up to that.
Oh, you do. You've never disappointed us so far, Chris. And we actually have at least two really interesting questions to put to you. Before we go to the first one, though, I just want to cover the ground, as it were. I mean, you are the Ombudsman for the state government and also for energy. But Ombudsman is about... If I'm in dispute with Synergy, let's say, and I don't like how it went down, that's sad because that's not really your concern. However, if I have real genuine concerns about how the decision was derived, what process they used to get there, then that's your baby. Is that right?
Totally correct. So I have two roles, one as State Ombudsman, the second as Energy Ombudsman.
Yep.
And in that capacity, if you have a concern with Synergy that you, and indeed any of energy providers, that you can't resolve with them, in the first instance it hasn't been resolved, then yes, absolutely, we can handle that complaint and seek to resolve it. We have a very, very, very high resolution rate for those complaints in a very, very timely manner.
That's it. Let's stress that, folks. The Ombudsman's team does resolve most things, and they resolve them quickly. But the other thing is, you can, when a matter of policy comes up, when someone's dispute actually shows some holes in the policy fabric, you can take that to the Parliament.
Absolutely correct. So the ultimate reporting, well, by tradition, by history, the Ombudsman is an officer of the Parliament.
Yep, not the government.
Not the government of the day, that's correct. So I report to the Parliament. My annual report is given to the Parliament.
Yep.
But at any stage, if one of my recommendations wasn't accepted, then I can bring that to the attention of the Premier and then ultimately to the Parliament to have that matter resolved. We are fortunate in the number of years that I've now been holding the office that all of our recommendations have been accepted. But if we were at a point where recommendations were rejected, which, you know, we would have thought in the first place were sensible and appropriate recommendations to make, then of course we could ultimately bring that matter to the attention of the Parliament.
Okay, now so that's what the Ombudsman is in place to do. Our first question, now folks, can I say, if you want to join those people who've already booked a place with the Ombudsman, you need to ring Steve Grumpy Collins now. The number is 9221182 and call right away. Our first problem has to do with an issue of, it has to do with an issue of a daughter being bullied. And it isn't, I mean, that's a serious enough problem as it is. But as I spoke to the mum who called us a couple of nights ago, what was of more concern to me was that it was quite clear that this mum was losing faith or had lost faith in the way in which the school was applying the process, and that in fact a safety or a harm avoidance program for her daughter was not being, had been agreed to, but was not being followed, and she was giving me. So Tara will join us after the break. She'll explain the situation being faced by her daughter. Chris will get into that because that's certainly right in the middle of where he does his work. If you have an issue, if you're in dispute with a state government department or a matter to do with energy supply, and you're not on the phone right now, you'll probably miss out, and we'll be really... See, for Royston to be frustrated after 9 o'clock because you've rung when the Ombudsman's gone, that's one thing. But if Grumpy was frustrated, that's something altogether different. You want to ring Steve right now at 9221882. Tara, you're up straight after this.
60R and EMI Music invite you to an exclusive lunch with John Williamson.
This week we're giving you a chance to join us at the Gate Bar and Bistro on March 30 for a three-course meal and the music of John Williamson in a one-off, up-close and personal acoustic setting. If you don't win tickets, book at the Gate on 94993399 for just $59 a head.
60R's Listener Lunch with special guest John Williamson at the Gate Bar and Bistro in Success from 882. 6PR.
Do you live anywhere from Rockingham to Kwinana to Mandra? Ever looking for a pharmacy after hours? Palm Springs Pharmacy, Warmbra, is now open till 10 p.m. every night of the week. It's professional healthcare and advice you can trust. From a winner of the Australian Pharmacy of the Year Award, Palm Springs Pharmacy, open 7 days, Warmbra Sound Avenue, Warmbra. Palm Springs
Pharmacy. Man wasn't meant to fly, so if you got a job where you need to get up high, access rentals.
Access rentals. Rentals are the elevated work platform specialists. Whenever and wherever you need to get off the ground, Access Rentals has the biggest range, fastest delivery, and the best prices. So for all your hire and sales needs, go online for a free quote today.
AccessRentals.net.au. When it's time to renovate, it's time to save at the Tile Clearance Centre. Why pay more elsewhere when you can choose from a massive range of quality ceramic wall and floor tiles, all under $20 a square metre? See the selection today at the Tile Clearance Centre, 24 Guthrie Street, Osborne Park. Every ceramic wall and floor tile, under $20 a square metre guaranteed. Only at the Tile Clearance Centre, 24 Guthrie Street, Osborne Park. Call 9244-3001.
When you're looking for adventure, dreaming of getting away and exploring this amazing country of ours, think Coromel Caravans, because they're built with your adventurous spirit in mind. Built for endurance, family comfort and convenience right here in Perth. You'll not only appreciate the benefits of owning a Coromel Caravan, but the journeys it'll take you on will be remembered for a lifetime. Coromel Caravans, built for adventure. Call 9356199 or log on to coromel.com and take a closer look today.
We could all use some extra space around the home, and Granny Flats WA has the solution. Whether you need a rumpus room for the kids, a teenager's retreat, a pool or games room, a home office so you can actually get some work done, or a granny flat to keep you close to the ones you love. At Granny Flats WA, they can custom build your additional accommodation at a fraction of the cost of brick and tile. Phone for your obligation-free quote. Visit grannyflatswa.com. Builder registration 11156.
Gas and electricity prices are soaring. Make the switch to a Solar Heart solar water heater and start saving today. Right now, Solar Heart is offering a $300 trade-in bonus for your old gas or electric water heater. That's on top of up to $1,900 in government incentives. Hurry, trade-in bonus ends soon. Beat rising energy costs. Call Solar Heart today on 1-300-2-SOLAR. Solar Heart, hot water, free from the sun. Conditions apply.
Now on Nightline. It's your direct line to the Ombudsman.
Yes, it is indeed. And Tara, good to have you on the program again.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear. Thanks, Tara. The Ombudsman is listening. Just give us an outline, not going into lots of detail. I might say most of what you said to me on Friday night, the Ombudsman already knows.
Mm-hmm.
So just for the sake of our listeners, bring us up to speed. Your daughter's being bullied.
Mm-hmm. As a consequence, both myself and her stepfather sent her away.
Yep.
And this is going to be a permanent arrangement because we don't see any other way to resolve this.
Now, you had been to the school more than once?
this occasion, we only attended the school once.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
So there had been prior occasions?
Absolutely, and I have dealt with the director of the Standards Integrity Division of the Education Department in August 2009, and I'm still to date waiting for a response. But I would really like to speak to the Ombudsman about this occasion that has resulted in me having to send my daughter to go and live somewhere else. On Thursday, both my stepfather and her, based upon disclosures from third parties and what my daughter said, we attended the school. We also let them know that we were attending with our daughter because she had been told that she was going to be physically assaulted at that school on that day. We met with the principal and the deputy principal. We discussed prior assaults to her, which the deputy principal acknowledged, and I also asked him why did I not receive an incident report or some validation that this happened. I did that in a phone call at 8:30 that morning, and when we attended the meeting at about 8:45, he had a letter saying that yes, she had been a victim of an assault. My daughter was she was in crisis. I won't go into details.
Maybe relevant to the Ombudsman, though. You felt like the school was not following through on agreements it had made?
Yes, and because that afternoon I received a phone call that she'd been assaulted again. They have now said that it was an accident. She hasn't gone to school. We've sent her away. So my question to the Ombudsman is, how far does the Education Department's duty of care extend to my child?
Well, Tara, thank you for your calling Graham the other night, and obviously calling us again tonight, and the matters you've raised, and they are allegations of concern. It's interesting, and possibly, I know, Tara, you're very much and very properly focused on your daughter. I just might saying for all the other listeners who are tuning in that much of the way that you have gone about this is worth repeating. Generally speaking, when you have a concern with your school, that the best place and first place to go is, of course, to the school and try to have the issue resolved at the local level. The Ombudsman doesn't just encourage that. The Ombudsman generally requires that, in the sense we want people to go to the local level. It's usually the quickest, the best in preserving relationships, particularly the sort of relationships that are going for ones like children in school and parents dealing with school. So after that, you have options of dealing with, say, the district level of the school system, and then, of course, to the Department of Education itself. And indeed, you've done those things, and you've been speaking to the relevant manager in that division of the department that deals with complaints and how complaints are handled. And the department does have a pretty sophisticated system of actually dealing with those things, and on the whole they deal with them well. What I think I would like to do in your particular case is get some further details off air, and I feel it might be slightly over-familiar for me to refer to him as Grumpy, but to give those to you, to Graham's producer.
Yes, Steve will take them.
And basically, we will give you a call and we will talk to you about the thing that I'm certainly concerned about is response times from the department in relation to those matters. Obviously, I only take them at this stage as allegations. I'll need to be investigated, but I need to look into the length of time, the quality of what's been done, and how those things are progressing. In relation to duty of care issues, look, not really for me so much to speculate on those at this stage. Some of those might be also legal questions that would be not prudent for me to speculate upon either at all, or alternatively until I have a lot more details before me. But of course, generally speaking, the state where it has care puts itself in the process of being a carer, say education, has a level of duty of care. But at this stage, that's all I can say. Mm. And I think, Tara, it'd be great for us if one of my staff could talk to you in the next couple of days and get some more information.
Which we will do. Tara, don't hang up. We'll put you back to Steve and Alan of Kelmscott. Now, Alan, actually, I called Alan back. Welcome back, Alan.
Hello, Graham. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Good to talk to you. I thought it would be great, in his role as Energy Ombudsman, and let me say, Steve, this may or may not be in your barley week, but Alan's got a problem with frequent power outages. Now, he was hit by the big one recently, but briefly tell us his story, Alan.
Yeah, as you can probably hear in the background, we run a small business, and we have considerable power outages here, as does a lot of other ratepayers and people in Kelmscott-Armidale area. But from our perspective, every time the power goes out here, it's off for generally 3 to 4, up to 6 hours. And in that time, it would cost us, from a business point of view, anything up to between $1,000 and $2,000 per event. Now, we still have to pay our staff, obviously, and we have to usually throw food out that can't be reused or consumed. And then there's also the loss of income, and this is happening probably on an average of about once every 6, maybe up to 8 weeks throughout the year.
And thanks, and, Alan. Yeah, no, that's a great summary. And Chris, I was thinking, well, obviously, I wondered whether there's any Is there a duty of, I don't know what you'd call it, provision, reliable provision of power? And if a business is being impacted as frequently as Alan says he is, and it's being impacted for 3 hours or 4 hours or 5 hours, but not the minimum,
correct?
Then does he have any? Is there something that should be done on a policy, or is there some obligation that the power supply people are not meeting? Does a small business have any recourse, or do they have to wear this $1,000 to $2,000 impost every time?
Yeah, well, look, it raises, in fact, actually a number of issues. Alan's very good call, and in relation to the Energy Ombudsman, the jurisdiction is generally for residential consumers, but it does extend to small business customers. Would depend on the size of Alan's business and who he wanted to leave. Once again, his details with Steve, we could follow that up.
Yeah.
You know, it goes to sort of bakeries and those sort of sizes of business. Once you're over that, then you're generally out of our jurisdiction. But it's also true to say that there are some hard and fast rules, and I know, Graham, you've spoken to your listeners about before about those in terms of blackouts.
Yes.
But it's not absolutely the case that the, and it's important thing for people to know, the Energy Ombudsman is bound by or takes into account in its consideration of matters the law.
Mm.
It also takes into account good industry practice and what's fair and reasonable in all the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at some of those things depending on what all the circumstances are.
Yeah.
So I certainly encourage people like Alan and people like Alan and people like Alan, if they haven't been able to resolve that issue with their service provider, to come and have a talk to us. Err on the side of caution, have a talk to us, and we can tell them whether it is something we can do something about.
So there you go, Alan.
So I just need to get in touch with the Ombudsman, do I?
Well, we'll do.
We'll call you.
He'll call you, mate. As long as you're happy, give Grumpy the go-ahead, and the Ombudsman will be in touch with you, mate.
All right, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Excellent. Well, I hope we get some action for you, but more as well, to perhaps continue just to focus attention on, because it's tough enough in small business, and you just need regular supply of power.
Well, small business is one of the fundamental drivers of our economy.
No question.
And they're very valuable to us, and absolutely correct.
Yep. So, Alan, thank you. I thought when Alan rang the other night, well, since Chris is coming in soon, it's well worth finding out whether there's a policy thing here, or whether there is some grounds, and we've learned as a result. All right, folks, you see how it works. If you have a question, call us right now. Oh, no, don't call us. Grumpy tells me we've got quite a few to get through. Stay tuned, and we'll learn together. Andrew is up next after this with Chris Field, State Ombudsman.
Wake up with Steve Mills.
I feel elated. I think it's a wonderful achievement. I also feel very humbled.
It has to be one of the other women that were on the stage last night, besides Professor Lynn Beasley. Who would you pick?
Gosh, that's Dolly Hart. I think they've all made such amazing contributions that I'd be honoured to be one fraction of any of them.
Breakfast with Steve Mills. Tomorrow morning from 5 on 882 6PR.
Want someone who'll move the earth for you? Who do you call? Trenchbusters. With a large fleet of earth-moving equipment and quality operators for hire, there's no job too big or too small. Excavators, bobcats, loaders, trucks, and heaps more. In need of a machine today? Call Trenchbusters. They'll always find a way. Call the friendly staff at Trenchbusters today on 9437-1999 or visit trenchbusters.com.au.
Say you're a small business and you use a bit of steel. Well, Metal Corp can offer you the personalised service of a small supplier with the backing of one of the biggest. That means they have a huge range at low prices. RHS, Sheep, Waste, Tube, Rio, and heaps more. Plus, they can even arrange same-day delivery. So get on the phone and call 1-300-306-204 now for your nearest store.
They call us Metal Corp. Here's our deal. Where is everything?
Thanks to Century 21, the smartest move we made was selling at the right time.
The smartest move we made was to buy instead of renovate.
How can you make the smartest moves in real estate? Talk to the experts at Century 21. Experienced local agents can help you plan for success with clear information, professional guidance and the right advice. For the results you want, visit century21.com.au or talk to your local Century 21 agent or Century 21 home loans broker today. Century 21, smart move.
What a great time of the year to buy your first musical instrument or upgrade one. Zenith Music in Claremont is the music shop most qualified to assist you. You see, Zenith has the massive range of musical instruments to choose the absolute right one for you. And people trust Zenith Music. Guitars, pianos, digital and upright, banjos, mandolins, ukuleles, flutes, they're just some. See Zenith Music on Sterling Highway, Claremont.
Parkland Mazda customers deserve the best. So we've been busy rebuilding our dealership to make it bigger and better for you. Celebrating completion of stage one, we're open for business with run-out deals across the entire 2010 range. Like 2010 Mazda 3 running out from only $21,990 drive away, but only while stocks last. Call us on 94587222 or drop by the dealership, 1287 Albany Highway, Flemington, because it costs you less to drive a Parkland Mazda. DL12942.
Fresh chicken breast, fresh garlic, eggs, crispy crumbs and parsley. But it will cost you an hour of your valuable time to cook it. Why cook when you can get Cannon Foods' new crunchy garlic chicken breast, all fully cooked and ready to eat? Just heat and serve. They're fresh, delicious and made right here in WA and now available at your local Woolworths and IGA meat departments.
The Cannon Can, the Cannon Can.
Now on Nightline, it's your direct line to the Ombudsman.
Indeed, and we go to Andrew in Darlington. Andrew, welcome.
Hi, how are you going, Chris?
Good, good, thanks, mate. Thanks for your call.
Chris, my question is with the Treasury and Finance Office of State Revenue.
Yes.
I am applying for an exemption from stamp duty for certain transfers of farming property, so like a family... family farm that I'm applying to purchase and I want an exemption on it. I applied for it in October last year and still haven't had an answer of any sort.
Have you had a sense of progress of it?
The last bit of correspondence was on the 19th of January,
yep.
Which I forwarded all the necessary documents that they were chasing, and that was the last bit that I've heard. And, like, in the meantime, it's not... And I want to be careful. I don't want to jump up and down too much and make it hard for them, but, like, I've had finance lapse, so it means I've had to go and refinance,
yes,
and do all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, I just, yeah, I want to know if, yeah, the timing of these issues.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose the truth, Andrew, is that timing of any process to government, be it exemptions, be it applications, licences, is really dependent upon the type of thing you're doing and,
yep,
the particular circumstances you bring to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether this is too long or is about right is something that I'd have to know a bit more detail about the specific issues involved with the application process. It's also true to say that as much as anything, sometimes this is also about being properly kept informed during those processes, so you get a good sense of this is about how long it'll take, and we keep you informed along the way. What I can say to you, Andrew, is I'm absolutely delighted for one of my staff to give you a call in the next day or so, either tomorrow or the day after, to basically get a few more details from you, if you wanted to do that, and we could simply make an inquiry with the State Revenue Office to find out how that progress of that application is going.
Okay, stay there, Andrew, don't hang up. If you're happy for them, I'm sure you are happy, but we'll just get you to confirm that to Steve, and we'll make sure the rest will, like a well-oiled machine, will just go into operation. Ruby, welcome.
Thank you very much.
The Ombudsman's listening.
Thank you. I've got a problem with the Builders Registration Board Tribunal. Well, I've had a problem with them.
Yes, Ruby.
It hasn't been solved. They made me a payout of $5,000, but in fact, it's going to cost me in the vicinity of $80,000 to get all the problems that I have fixed.
And have you taken that complaint to them? Have you raised that concern with them, and have they responded to you about that?
Yes.
And the response obviously is not something that you're satisfied with, or else you presumably wouldn't be calling tonight.
That's right, yes.
And is that just that one time you've taken to them, or have you actually, has this been something that's gone on for some period of time?
Yes, it has been going on for a long time. I think I've had about 5 hearings at the tribunal, and each time I'm just fogged off.
All right, well, I probably, Ruby, just in fairness as much to you, don't want to have you go through too much of that information on air. But like our other callers tonight, we would be really delighted to, if you wanted to leave your details
Graham's producer, Stephen, and we could give you a call back, get some extra information, and then make some calls if it's appropriate to do so on your behalf.
Okay, Ruby, we'll pop you back to Grummy just to make sure you're happy for the Ombudsman to be in touch. But in general terms then, a registration, if the registration board decides on something once, that's not the end of the matter necessarily.
It will depend, Graham. With many of these boards and tribunals, I have no jurisdiction to actually look at the decisions they've made, but I do have some jurisdiction to look at the sort of information that went to the decision makers.
Yes, yes.
And to see whether that was timely and appropriate and sort of, you know, included sort of reasonable information which would make it open to make other decisions about. So you know, we prefer to err on the side of caution to find out a bit about that before we actually rule it out or in.
So with no reference to Ruby's specific case, but if a tribunal came to a decision and, let's say, made an order in compensation to me, but then fresh information, fresh evidence indicated that I actually was given a small amount, but I now had a gaping hole of problems to fix that they had not been aware of when they made the first decision, then you could go back and say, look, there's a whole lot of fresh evidence, is that?
Yeah, well, that might be something that you take back to them. Mm. The sort of instance I've mostly got in mind is where there was a series of administrative tasks and efforts and advice given to other decision makers, and there were some flaws in that. I suppose a typical example is this: ministers and decisions ministers make are out of my jurisdiction,
of course,
but the advice that departmental officers give them to make those decisions is in.
Yes.
So that's the sort of distinction.
So that's exactly right. So it's kind of the minister, the decision made was based on incomplete or inaccurate information.
And if it is, then we can look at it. Correct.
Gotcha. We're going to talk to Rex in Cannington. Hi, Rex.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How you going?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, look, as the Ombudsman, I'm just wondering whether you have jurisdiction over the WA Police.
Well, there's a jurisdiction over the WA Police is in a couple of places, but principally it's with our Crime and Corruption Commission. They hold the principal jurisdiction in relation to WA Police and allegations of misconduct and other matters. But we do have a level of jurisdiction in relation to WA Police, and particularly in relation to what we would call matters of administration or various administrative matters that are done by police. So that's a slightly long answer to say, yes, we have jurisdiction, although the principal jurisdiction is the Corruption and Crime Commission.
What were you seeking to do, Rex?
Yeah, the reason why I asked is my son was severely injured 2 years ago with the police running him over. And the CCC investigated, but it didn't ascertain what actually went on the night in question. And we want to know what we can do to counter that and the CCC, because from all accounts and what we've got under the Freedom of Information, the police have gone from the left lane into the right lane to run my boy over.
Well, it was obviously a very serious allegation, and that would be the sort of allegation, exactly the sort of allegation that I would not investigate and could not investigate, and the Corruption Crime Commission would. As a general rule, I have no jurisdiction over the Corruption Crime Commission as a first rule. Second, if they had done an investigation about a matter, it would be very unusual for me to be investigating that same subject matter, and that's for a whole range of, I think, good reasons.
Yeah.
The time that I would be where the Corruption Crime Commission had looked at a range of matters which were considered, say, misconduct matters, serious misconduct matters, the matters that are in their jurisdiction, but there were some, you know, perhaps compensation, remedial, administrative matters which were also part of the discussion, and then they might say, we might talk to each other and we do those aspects of the investigation either before, during or after theirs. This doesn't sound like that type of situation to me. You may want to consider, there is a parliamentary inspector for the Corruption and Crime Commission, and he does investigate those matters. We can provide that number to you either from my office or possibly Graham's producer could provide that too.
Tell you what, Rex, we're running very short of time, mate. It's a serious matter, and I don't want to kind of try and condense it into too short a time. Sounds to me, not that I would know, but that parliamentary officer seems to be the one that's your next port of call. We'll make sure you get the contact details for that. And once again, Chris, thanks for coming in.
Graham, happy 30 years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very, very much.
That's great. It was a fantastic segment, actually, folks. We're back after this.